Let's go.
It's Hot Talk with Jill Tracy. Always live.
Always local.
Let's go.
It's Hot Talk with Jill Tracy.
Always live. Always local.
Always entertaining and educating South Florida. Always entertaining and educating South Florida. Celebrating over 30 years, Hot Talk continues to be the pulse of South Florida. Over 30 years, Florida. Relevant, engaging, informative. Now, here's your host, Jill Tracy. Hot Talk continues.
The only way to deal with an unfree world is to become so absolutely free that your very existence is an act of rebellion. That's Albert Camus, and good evening, South Florida. I am Jill Tracy. Thanks so much for joining us tonight on Hot Talk, South Florida's number one community affairs show. Each and every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., we labor here to highlight the achievements and discuss the challenges of our community with you and an engaging panel of guests. And we invite you to join the conversation at 888-550-9105. My jewels tonight come indeed from Albert Camus, who was a controversial French philosopher, author, and journalist. His views contributed to the rise of philosophy known as absurdism. Look it up when you have some time. His most popular writings, appropriately, is an essay called The Rebel, for which he won a Nobel Peace Prize in Literature in 1957. He died, unfortunately, in 1960. I thought it was appropriate because last night, President Obama became absolutely free when he dropped that mic on the White House Correspondents' Dinner. When I tell you, I have never seen anything so brilliant in all my life. And I'm glad I was alive to see that one. I hope that you got a chance to see it. If you did, call us 888-550-9105. Because we are champions around here in South Florida right now. The Heat made it to the second round. Yes, indeed. Yes. Applause around in this studio. There's too many people in here. Thank you.
Wee baby.
Second round and without LeBron. Now it's time for us to really bone up on our support of the Heat. Those of you who have been slacking and been giving other people your season tickets, it's time to make your way back to the game. But back to my POTUS. We have a good show tonight. And one of the people that is kind of responsible for putting this whole thing together, for real, all know, those of you who have been fans and friends of Hot 105 and 99 Jams throughout the years, you know him well. Those of you in the music industry know him well. And he is none other than Cedric Hollywood.
What's up, Jill?
Welcome to Hot Talk.
Good to be here. Congratulations on what you've done with the show, Hot Talk. Love it. No doubt.
Thank you so much. Cedric Hollywood is legendary in music. He was a program director at 99 Jams in the glory years of 99 Jams. There are a lot of glory years in 99 Jams, but I tell you, that little run from about 99 to 2003 was just...
That's actually, the stuff. Until 2005 was
actually
was
2005.
Crazy.
Yeah,
crazy. Yeah.
2004 was like a blur for me. I think you fired me in 2004.
No,
just got home.
Let's clarify this for the entire South Florida audience.
What?
Corporate fired you. I love you to death. I would never, ever fire you.
See, that's how you know somebody worked. Corporate did it. I didn't do
it. I had witnesses. I actually fought for you.
I was driving.
But I was the one who had to tell you, unfortunately.
Yes, you did. I was driving to work. He didn't even let me get to work. I'm driving to work. And he's like, yeah.
Got something to tell you.
Yeah, I got something to tell you. And I was like, well, I think I need to turn around.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what I was, really. You know,
but you know what? Everything happens in life for a reason.
Yes.
And
look at you now.
Exactly.
Know?
Look at us now. Because I was ready to burn you in effigy. So the fact that
we can clear this up, in front of everybody, of the world.
But, it's the business.
No doubt.
And you learn to be resilient.
But I do have witnesses. I did fight for you.
Why, thank you.
But there were some people with more stripes than me.
Yeah.
And they pulled your number.
And it was a budget. Right?
And said, you go tell
mine.
Her. So I had to... deliver that bad news.
But listen, I was in good company because like seven of us left that day.
Right.
It was like me, Tamara, James, Marvin Dixon, Huey Baby Anderson, like everybody.
Yeah.
Just like, but anyway, that's his business. Things happen and you keep it moving.
True.
And we certainly have, just like Obama. Okay, so you listened last night.
Here we are. Here we are.
I know.
Together
imagine,
once
see,
again. So, you know, hey, what goes around comes around.
What is meant
are,
to
you know?
Happen will happen.
Yes. Well, what happened was.
What had happened then.
Right.
But what had happened last night?
Oh, that
did
was
you
crazy.
Saw, did you love that? Okay, so
I was so proud to you. See our president drop the mic.
Thank you. Obama like, out. Boom. Dropped the mic. And walked out.
I'm like, is that Jay-Z?
Freddie, did you see
what,
it?
What's going on? You know, that's crazy, right?
Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
Did you love it?
I loved
it. It was right. Like, that was the best thing in the world.
Wherever he does his
first
speech. I've been
showing it all day long today and seeing him. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, did you ever think in our lifetime that we would see that? You know what I'm saying? And then Larry Gillis, there's so much controversy, you know, all ooh, day today about ooh. The comedian Larry Gilmore that came ooh. Behind him.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what comedians are supposed to do. Did you think he was too harsh? Yeah.
I thought there were times when he was not funny.
Right. Right.
That was,
I would agree, yeah.
That
agree.
Was a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Some of them just fell flat.
Yes.
But I didn't think that he, you know, went over the line. What killed
but it's hard to follow the president anyway, it's even if you are a comedian, you know.
Yeah. He should have known.
Yes.
Not to do that.
Bring
but
your A-game.
He had no
you
other
follow
choice.
Follow the press. Bring your A-game.
He could have cut like 5 minutes out of his set.
I agree.
Or maybe a little bit more.
That's
and
true.
It would have been really, really tight. And,
that's true.
But yeah. The best part was at the end. He said, yo, if I'm being 100, Barry, you did it, my nigga. I mean, it was like, oh my
okay,
God.
Okay, so
everybody,
I did
all over
fall
the,
to the floor when he said that.
Thank you.
You know I was shocked.
Everybody in the world like was like, yeah. What? He went there. But, you know, which led
did
to
you
conversations.
See their faces, though?
Everybody.
Whoa, was that crazy?
But the here's the thing. That the conversations today are like, okay, how did he get away with that? More white people were offended that he did it than black people. I mean, just in my conversations.
True.
Today, because
well, that seems to be the way it is, though, because now we can say it and they can't.
Right.
They said it for 400 years.
Right.
They're not allowed to say it anymore.
Right. You've been cut off. You can't say it anymore
for the next 400.
But we can't say it in certain. I mean,
certain areas.
Well, that
places.
may have been the change right there, because I thought about that. It's like, okay, if I would say it if I were on the phone with you.
Right.
We'd say it, but then as, you know, in vernacular on the air, you wouldn't necessarily.
No, he did save it for last, though.
He did. He
that,
listened. Right. There was nothing they could do. There was no beefing. There was none of that coming out.
Okay.
But I thought it was, and the fact that, you know, Obama fist bumped him back, you know, if you missed it, I don't know if those will rerun. It may rerun on C-SPAN, but it was incredible.
You can catch it on C-SPAN, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
but
right.
Check this out, though. His first speech after he leaves office, I want to be there.
Yeah.
Because that's
for
the
real.
First time you're going to get a chance to really hear or see the real Barack Obama. That's going to be crazy.
Yeah. And when he does his library. Now, that is a presidential library that you know it's going to be in Chicago.
Sure you will.
He's going to have to put it in. He's probably going to put it in Chicago. That is a presidential library that I would want to go.
So what do you think? What
do
you think
he's
going to put in it?
Thank you. This is what I'm saying. Nina Simone is going to be playing when you walk in. You know, it's going to be a whole Miles Davis section. You know, there will be a Jay-Z and Beyonce dedicated wing.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That's what I'm saying. It's just.
Yes. It will be different.
It is going to be. I mean, that really changed the narrative last night.
It was crazy.
Because
I was shocked, but I was amazed and I was happy at the same time.
Yeah, they were full on. They could not have been more authentic and more black last night. And it was
on
a
purpose.
Beautiful thing and on purpose.
Yes.
And there's been so much conversation about. Have you been? You've been hearing the conversation around Liberty Square. And everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, several people have asked me, you know, when are you going to address it on Hot Talk? And we definitely will. But I, like a lot of people, weren't really aware of, I will say, the tentacles on that and how deep it is. I had no idea that Liberty Square was the very first project in the Southeast. And it was erected in 1935.
I know, you told me, because I wasn't aware either.
The intent of this, and that's where the word project comes from, because this was a project.
Let's teach them.
To see if we can get, you know, they wanted Overtown. They wanted all of downtown. They wanted to move the black people farther away.
Right.
You know, so nobody had to see them. And so they just, you know, decided on this Liberty Square to create this project to see if they could create a whole nother community, a little city where the black people would go after dark.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you could work on the beach and wherever else, but they would go back there.
Well,
so that
is
the
live,
genesis,
right.
Mm-hmm. right, of how it began. So for us to be where we are now, and this project that they're, this
so $300
million dollar project.
It's historic, and so we need to be careful.
You have
next
to be
thing
very
we
careful.
Do, we need to be very careful right. how we do it.
That we don't repeat history, because that was 1935, and it is still a project. Project has become another word for ghetto.
True.
So the project, if it was to see if this would be feasible for African Americans, failed.
Right.
So you don't want to repeat the mistakes that you've already made.
So
you're
being
by
very
not
careful before
vetting.
You step into
exactly.
this hot mess
this experience.
That we got going on right
and
now.
And I think that we all should. I think it's
yes.
going to be a good history lesson for all of us.
I totally
so
agree.
As is tonight's show,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it is proof of the power of connection, because I want to say, well, I met Tamara G booked me to do the Miramar Cultural Arts Center.
This is crazy how this happened.
Yeah, like 2 years ago.
Right.
And then on that show was Ronnie VOP.
Yes.
And I came on the air and said, wow, this guy performed, this Ronnie VOP, he was the bomb.com. My good girlfriend, who was on the board for the Nat King Cole Foundation, was looking for an artist, a local artist, to come up and be a part of their event. And I said, oh my God, I just saw this kid, Ronnie VOP.
Yes.
Let me put you in touch with him. He went up, he did the gig, they loved him. He's going to be a star, that one.
Yes.
And then Dontrell and his father, they come with his little brother, who's
Aaron.
Written a book. Eric.
Yes.
Who's written a book and a
Aaron,
movie. And
Aaron.
Aaron.
Written two books.
So
the
they
first
come.
One at the age of 9.
Right.
Right.
They
mm-hmm.
come. They're on the show. And then Dad tells me that Dontrell sings, et cetera, et cetera. They book me to do Dontrell's experience.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, you have to meet Cedric Hollywood. So his dad reaches out to Cedric Hollywood. Boom. Cedric Hollywood said, I like this kid. Let's work with this kid.
Yes.
And now you have one of the hottest records probably in several years. This is one. I mean, your son
is
young Hollywood. So, you
that
know.
Is true. That is true.
but one of the, did he produce it? Did your son
yes.
produce it?
Which one?
That Set Me Free.
He did not produce that one.
He did Dontrell's.
No, he did Would You Mind?
Yeah.
And he has produced all of Dontrell's songs so
okay.
far.
Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, it's a beautiful thing how it's all like kind of coming full circle.
It's all about who you know. And, you know, here it is.
And work in the room.
Yes.
I love it.
Definitely,
so,
without a doubt.
So they are.
Networking,
they,
connections.
Yes. And they are all here tonight.
Yes, they are.
Because
Ronnie's
their current
here. Dontrell
single.
Is here.
And then our other friends, Jay Shin.
Jay Shin is here.
Urban Mystic's
here. And they're all on Set Me Free, so we'll
Which
get a chance to tell you why
song.
There's a song called Set Me Free.
Yes, and you'll get a chance to hear it. Those of you who haven't heard it, Phil Michaels debuted it last week on Rick Party Show. And in case you missed it, you're going to get a chance to hear it tonight. Shouts out to everybody on Facebook Live. I forgot my little kickstand. But Nisha Chevron, Erica Knowles, hey, Janelle Fulford.
Erica used to be my intern.
Yes, indeed. And look at her.
What's up? I know.
She's publisher of MIA Magazine.
That's a magazine. We're going to put Ronnie in the magazine, right,
there
Erica?
You go.
Yes,
Erica, you heard that. Okay, it's a done deal.
Again, it's all about who you know.
It is all about relationships, I'm
yes,
here to tell you.
No doubt.
As
but,
is,
but he is worthy of being in the magazine.
No, he definitely
he's
is. Listen, when I tell you, Ronnie VOP is, he is heir to a long list of entertainers.
Yes, yes.
And not just singers or, you know, people who can dance on stage.
Right.
He's very talented. And like as I tell you, it was when, you know, it's easy. Would You Mind, I think, was out when I saw him or just come out.
Mm-hmm.
But when he started doing the old school and Sinatra and was entertaining the seniors and they were up and dancing.
That's what
like,
surprises
see?
People because
yeah.
he's like 21, 22 years old.
That's crazy.
But he can go old school in a minute.
In a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
And
no
he
doubt.
Did, and it was
yeah.
great.
Which he did at Jazz in the Gardens, too, by the way, on that stage.
Delsham.
You know how hard it is to get people up and have them participate and really just let loose and dance?
Exactly.
He did that.
And we rarely ever do that anymore. Delsham Williams says, can I meet him? Yes, Delsham. you can meet Cedric Hollywood. I will put you all in touch. Delsham's out of Chicago.
Oh,
poet
okay.
and performer.
Cool.
And yes, I will put you all in touch. See, you're in the room. You may be on Facebook Live, but you are in the room.
Talent. I love talent.
Yeah.
That's what's
up. You know, that's always kind of been the backbone. I mean, that's one of you and I talk a lot about how a lot of that is missing.
Yes.
You know, people that just love the music for the music and what it does for you. And we just lost one of our dearest, and I'm still not quite over it.
And Prince?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, it just, and you know,
I could not help but shed tears because I played his first, I was one of the first guys to play his first song, Soft and Wet.
Really? Yes. You didn't tell me that.
I know. We ain't talked about everything
yet. Well, this is true.
We will divulge some things on this very show, I promise you.
But, wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt.
It's and his passing just, you know, I was watching a story today about how the fans that are showing up to Paisley Park just keep coming. It just gets growing
that
day after day.
A museum, to be honest.
Yeah, hopefully. You know? And the family's already, well, I don't know what the family's doing, but, you know, the news is already saying the family's fighting. And, you know, it's enough money to go around.
That's always the case, though, you know, when you don't have a will,
which
we think he don't have a will.
Right. No, Prince, it just seems odd.
It just seems odd that he does not have a will. I agree.
Maybe they haven't found or somebody. I'm not getting into that. Frank Cornelius Jr., hey, how are you? Thank you so much for listening. Cedric, Frank Cornelius says hello.
Can I say what's up?
Freddy Cruz is over there, too. You all need to shout out Freddy Cruz. Oh, wait a minute. Like I said, I lost my little kickstand that I just purchased. Freddy's, there he is.
Mark?
Mark Young. Freddie's like, where is Mark Young? Listen, you know, this is radio. And
yeah, Freddie and I go way back, too.
Freddie, God love him, has been here since like 6 o'clock.
We were original Hot 105 DJs.
You were Hot 105 DJ?
Yeah, we got stories. But,
well,
we're not going
to
tell on this show, but we got stories.
Okay. We have to do that in the midnight hour.
Yeah, don't get into that.
No. It's all safe with me, I promise you.
But wait a minute. But this is kind of like old school radio because where one shift would lean over into the other shift.
Yes.
But Freddie is here just standing in
It's ironic that he's here because he wasn't supposed to be.
Right now, Freddie.
Well, we go. I mean, I'm glad he's here because we have such a relationship. We go way back.
way back.
We can write a book. I'm writing a book, but he and I can write a book together.
I was going to say, Freddie, listen, Freddie, 30 years of making babies in this town. Freddie's got stories to tell.
That's what's
Don't forget that. You still remember the address of it, 377 Alhambra.
Alhambra Circle.
Oh, my goodness. How do you?
Okay. A famous place, the original Hot 105.
So you were over there, too.
I was there.
So you've known Phil that long.
No, he was there before.
Phil Michaels, who is our program director now,
was
an intern
Phil.
At that time.
Yeah. At the time, Bill Tanner was our program director.
My God.
Yes.
Yep. See, you all, this is good stuff. This is the kind of rich, you know, Miami radio history that you just do not get. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, we need to do that show one day. Just like,
ironically, we were the first station to beat Y100.
Yep.
The original Hot 105.
And we were also going after EDR, remember?
Yes, we were.
That
Star Force 99.
Yep.
Right.
I never thought that one day we would be all a big family, man, you know.
And now we're all family.
Right?
We are.
Who would have
family.
Known?
That
that's
is,
right,
that's
because
right.
At that time, Hot 105 was playing. You were doing the Quiet Storm, but during the day, it was like pop.
It was party time.
Yep.
It was party.
Yeah.
Well,
it was
like a mix of pop and R&B and up-tempo dance music, you know.
Yeah, was Rick Party there at the time?
No.
It's
before Rick.
Rick Party.
Oh, okay.
Rick was in
the
second group. We were in the first group.
Yeah,
we actually put out Hot 105 on the air.
Rick Party came around 1990, 91.
By then I was in Orlando at the time.
Oh, wow, okay.
But,
and then you came back and we were
then
over
I came
it.
Back to James.
Wow, you guys.
Yes.
Rainy Sunday, another great. Yes, indeed. Lots of great products from Flomo. Ben Carroll, what's happening? Steve Casper, how are you? Welcome to the show. And I want to welcome our young guest tonight. This one, I think I have known our first guest tonight since he was, how old were you, Elijah?
Eight years old.
Probably.
Yeah,
how
probably
old are you now?
18.
Wow, I'm telling you. Wow. It just goes so quickly. Elijah Wells, for those of you who don't know, is an aspiring, well, he started at 8, so he's really like an accomplished film director at this point. And he's working on, he has a project right now to support young filmmakers and encourage community engagement with his new Elijah Wills Young
Youth Indie Film Festival.
Youth Indie Film Festival. Yep. There you go. The festival will offer professional level training opportunities, a red carpet reception, short film screenings, and an industry who's who panel discussion produced by 18. You're 17.
18. I'm 18.
You're 18 now.
Yeah. Just turned 18.
When was your birthday?
June 30th. I know it's like past due, but yeah, just turned 18.
So you're almost 19.
Yes. Oh my God. Yep. Almost. Yep. Don't remind me.
Boo, it gets better. It only gets better from here.
I don't know.
Yes, it does. He just finished high school, of course.
Not yet. Not yet. Graduating June 4th.
Oh, you all are. Oh, that's college. You just got out of school Wednesday.
High school. No, I'm still in high school.
No. I'm saying, Florida Memorial got out Wednesday. I'm thinking everybody got out.
Yeah, basically everybody got out, basically.
But you graduate.
Yeah, I graduate June 4th. Yeah.
Wow, what? What a wonderful graduate. Like, I'm graduating and I'm having a film festival.
Yeah, I wanted to leave something here. I just didn't want to, I'm going to New York Film Academy, so that's like, 1 year. Yeah, so 1 year
in
New York.
Yay, I'm so excited for you.
Thank you so much. So I'll be doing 1 year in New York and then the rest of my years in California. But I just didn't want to just, go to New York and people would be like, oh, he just did this and he left us. I wanted to leave something here and to where it can grow to something bigger than when I come back. It can still be,
Yeah, well, and when you come back, you can put the kids in place now who
exactly.
were where you were to, kind of maintain it while you're in college.
Yeah.
And then you can come in once a year and mm-hmm. host it.
Of course.
That's a beautiful thing, Elijah. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So everybody comes to their genius, hopefully they do in their lifetime. Most people don't. When do you think you hit your genius, Cedric Hollywood?
Oh, I'm still trying to find it.
Okay, well, no. Okay, no. When's
when
that first minute
was,
that
oh,
you
when
knew,
I thought I was, I knew
that
what
you
I
were
wanted
like, I'm
do?
Good
I,
at this and I like it?
I was 21.
21.
I was on the radio, and one day I was no longer afraid of the mic because I felt like I'm good at this.
Right.
Yes.
I think I was 25, and I started writing. And a program director read my articles and offered me a job on radio. I was like, okay, yeah, I got this.
Awesome.
From a column. Ira Everett. Did you know Ira Everett? Thank you, Freddie.
Thank you.
I love you. Give me a kiss.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
Good to see you again, Freddie.
Did you know Ira Everett?
No.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So, okay, but wait, you're going to tell us your moment right after this break.
Okay.
This is Hot Talk. I am Jill Tracy on Hot 105.
Hot 105.
Your views matter to us. Call Hot Talk at 888-550-9105.
Woo! Okay. I was about to say I'm slipping off this chair. My little footstool. Welcome back to Hot Talk. Did you hear about Hot Talk and you missed it and going, I would have loved to have heard that? No worries. You can download the Hot 105 app and listen anytime. Or you can go to the Hot 105 website and go to Hot Talk with Jill Tracy and just plug it up. Lots of great shows on there. Coming up next Mother's Day, which is next Sunday. I'm working on a real treat, the second part of our Real Pastors of South Florida show. It'll either be that or our young entrepreneur show, because Mother's Day is a big day for, all the pastors. So
True. It's
kind of hard for them to
get away.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then they will have had a full day. So, if I can't get everybody together, I understand it. And, my South Florida entrepreneurial panel, which you're going to love, will be here in their stead. And then we'll do the pastors a little later on. And if you have ideas for shows or good stuff going on in the community and you just don't hear enough about it, send it to me at jill@hot105fm.com because we are always looking for good and interesting and challenging stories here at Hot Talk. Like our first young man here, good, encouraged, and challenging, Elijah Woods, who is a local filmmaker, started at 8 years old and now has created the Elijah Woods
Wells.
Woods. Wells.
Same thing.
I do that with people's last names. The first time I like say it, and then I'm like, okay, where did Woods come? Elijah Woods is the actor. See, but that was a Freudian slip, so that's a good one.
No, bro. People call me Isaiah all the time.
Elijah Wells, mm-hmm. Youth Indie Film Festival is mm-hmm. coming up May 19th. So now we talked a little bit about how, you know, you wanted to leave a legacy here mm-hmm. and something, of course, that you could come back mm-hmm. And be, you know, still be a big part of mm-hmm. the community that you love so much. So now tell me a little bit about the festival. It's one day?
Yes, it is one day. Yeah, yeah.
And how are the students chosen that are going to be in the festival?
We have a submission platform where they, you know, basically submit their films, and then me and my team basically pick five finalists, and mm-hmm. they're basically going to show their short films at the Lyric Theater in Overtown, and then it's going to be a last short film, which is my latest short film I did, Color Town.
I love that.
Yeah.
About Overtown.
Yeah, it's about Overtown. Yeah. It's about Overtown back in the 1920s through 60s. So it's a period piece. And, you know, when people hear Overtown now, they hear about, you know, 48 hours, you know, killing, drugs and all that craziness. But, you know, back then, what people don't know, it was a Harlem of the South. It was a South Beach for African Americans. You had hotels, storefronts, everything owned by African Americans. And you had like Nat King Cole, Ella Fitzgerald, Muhammad Ali, you know, walking the same streets I am. And so I kind of just wanted to make this short film and put Overtown back on a map in the light where it should be. So
exactly. I love that. And I've mm-hmm. always liked that about you. You're sort of like, you know, they call you old souls, but, you know, maybe that's not it. Maybe it's just that you were just an aware soul at a mm-hmm. younger, you know, age than mm-hmm. than others. And I love the fact that you are a fan of history like I am. I think people who are regular listeners to this show can repeat my mantra that those who don't know their history are bound and determined to repeat it. And so I love the fact that you are taking it back to a time when it was good to be mm-hmm. and people clamored to come to Overtown.
Yeah.
We just, you know, in opening the show, we kind of told a little of the story mm-hmm. about how, you know, the demise of Overtown as it were,
yeah.
As it was, besides 95 running straight mm-hmm. through it. And really, that's the story of almost every American city, is that there were thriving Black communities and then they put an expressway in the middle yeah. of it and ruined it. and you know, such is the same here. And now what we're venturing into with this new Liberty Rising or Liberty Square, whatever, mm-hmm. Whatever it's going to be. It is important. It's very important yeah. to know the history of where it came from and to know where you want to be. I think that's one of the things that we're not discussing about it. The fight is over the money of who is going to develop it and mm-hmm. this, that, and the other. But what does the community want? What do the people who live there want mm-hmm. to come from where they are? And and I think that you know, that is a real concern of yours with Overtown.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. As well. So and so now that piece is going to close. Yes. That's going to close the festival?
Yes. Is it like... Yes, it is. Yes.
We're deciding sure. right now.
We're deciding. But, yes.
We just decided it's closing
just
the festival. Thank you very much.
What?
So quick.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, no, so really quick.
I definitely would co-sign that movie. I mean,
oh, thank you.
Well, he doesn't even know this, but I saw the entire film, and I was amazed that a young man of his age mm-hmm. could produce such a movie like that.
Oh, thank you so much.
See?
Thank you.
Yes, no doubt.
Gotta love it. See, that wasn't planned. That was not planned. But, you know, great minds come together in great places. Ba-dum-bum. So now you're also having a master class.
Yes.
So now tell us about that. Will Oprah be there? I'm kidding.
You know what? We need to call Oprah. Jill, you going to help me out with that?
Listen, you know.
I know Oprah be listening in. Yeah, I know she'll be listening in.
Okay. But she just might. Put it in the universe, please.
I'm about to do it. But the master class is going to be two of basically my mentors that really helped me out through my film career. Wills and then
Fallon?
Yes.
You know I love it. Of course I know Wills.
Okay, then. Hey, Wills. Hey, Wills.
Right. He should have been here. Oh, that would have been good.
That would have been great. And then another gentleman, Alan West. The thing about mm-hmm. Alan West is before I actually filmed Color Town, you know, at that time, I thought about doing Color Town, you know, when I was at least 10 years old, but I didn't really have the knowledge of making a period piece, of getting all that information. And so he was the one that actually, we had a meeting at Starbucks, and he was the one that told me what I needed to do, how do I make the storyboard, the budget that comes with it, or the research. So he was the big part of actually putting Color Town in, you know, pen and paper and in the film. And I just want to thank him. And he actually, you know, confirmed that he's going to be one of the masterclass and hopefully the panelists too.
Awesome. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And now the students that participate will be competing for a scholarship.
Yes. Yeah, yes. And this scholarship is actually going to be going towards their upcoming film.
Okay.
So that's one thing that, you know, with me, the real reason why I started this film festival is to basically get, you know, young filmmakers, inspiring filmmakers, to give them a platform and to encourage them to do more and to not be scared to submit their film festival here and there. Because,
right.
Yeah, because when I was young, you know, 10, 12, 14 years old, I used to submit my films, you know, going against, you know, men and women 30, 40 years old, older than me. So I really didn't have any, you know, engagement with them or any conversation because I was kind of scared. I was intimidated. You know, they're mm-hmm. older. They've been in the game longer than me. And so with this
You don't want to sound stupid.
Exactly. You know, so with this film yeah. festival, it's for the youth. Everybody's in the same age range. So you can have this communication with, you know, this person, that person. You know, it might be an aspiring director here, and this girl, she wants to be in a aspiring producer, executive producer. So if they link up, and then when they get to 20, 30 years old, they'll be taking over the world
exactly.
doing blockbuster films. So that's, you know, that's the real core reason why I started. So, you know, kids can, you know, be in an environment where it's, you know, it's inspiration. They can be comfortable to talk to each other and just make films. Because at the end of the day, you know, films can change people's perspective on anything.
And
so, yeah.
And different views, different voices at the table can change the world.
Of course, of course.
So I love that. I think it's a beautiful thing. Okay, so now, wait, I didn't forget. What? Somebody else just reminded me. I said, okay, so what was his genius moment? So what was your moment when you were like, okay, I got this?
Ooh, that's a good question. No, I can say, I think I always had the passion for film, you know, since I was, I can say, 6, 7 years old. Because I always used to watch movies differently. You know, I used to go to the behind the scenes, the special features, the director talk to get the full, you know, idea, the full aspect of how films was created.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, after that, you know, I was 12 years old. My mom brought me into this summer camp called CineLab, founded actually by American Black Film Festival, Reggie Scott and Yvette Harris. And they basically taught me, you know, about film production, the writing, the cinematography, the lighting, the camera and all that stuff. And then at that point, 12 years old, I was like, okay, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So I could say 6, 7, or 12 years old, whichever
you
one
you want to take. 6, 7, or 12.
Yeah, 6, 7, or 12.
Listen, I'll take 12.
I'll take 12. So yeah, that was my you know, experiment moment. That I was like, you know what, you know, film is my thing, acting is my thing, and I'm just gonna run with it until, you know, God tells me not to. So.
Oh, I just can I hear the church say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Woo.
Amen.
Cause you know, it really doesn't, it doesn't matter when you get it.
Mm.
It just matters that you do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That something that life pushes you to a place where you get it, that this is what God put me here for. And I might be wrong, but right now I think this is it. So I'm going full force at this until he tell me something different. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
to get it at 12, it's just such a blessing, Elijah. You
Thank
have
you so much.
And the fact that you have support, your mother supports you.
She has a support. And father.
Yeah, and they have a son. I never met your father.
No, my father. He's quiet. He's in a Willie Nathaniel Wells. I'm putting you out
there.
Is he
out there?
No, he's not. Oh. He's actually at work. I think he's listening in, so I'm shouting you out. He's a big, listen, people see my mom everywhere dragging me around, and she's in the front line, but my dad, you know, he is the one that, he's a silent killer, you know?
Uh-huh.
He doesn't have a lot to say, but when he says it, everybody has to listen. It's something big. So,
right.
You know, he's a big supporter, you know, with me. You know, he's the one that really, you know, pushed me. My mom, too, but my dad is the one that really pushed me. Like, listen, you know, don't give up, you know?
Right.
You know, keep your faith in God and just, you know, do it and let yourself go and just be engulfed in this film world. And so yeah, so I gotta give a shout out to him, because without my mom, you know, I wouldn't be here. But without my dad too, you know, they're just a combination of greatness. I'm glad I have both parents.
That's such a it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
and you can't say it enough, and parents, and if there are other kids listening, you can't hear it enough. Yeah. That, and I want you to have heard the passion in his voice when he said, because my parents supported me, I'm able to be here now.
Yep.
You know, there's so many times that parents say, you need to pursue something else. But when, you know, a child shows that sparkle in their eye for something, you got to just run with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just a, it's a blessing that your parents ran with it, you know, and didn't discourage you to try to, you know, run track or play basketball.
Yeah, when I had a conversation with
them. That's what I was thinking about. Such an inspiration for our youth that you can do something other than football, baseball, basketball, etc. You know, here's a whole genre that you can get into, and he's a prime example at such a young age. Look at what he's doing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, and we all have, and that's one thing that we all have a story.
Yep.
You know, so you're encouraging other people to especially youth to tell their stories as well. So I love that. It's brilliant. Now, I had there were a few others on here, and then you met all of our other guys outside.
Yes, I did.
His parents are the key, and Ingrid B says, and
Ingrid.
Yeah, what's up, Bazan? She's coming up soon. And Anthony Henderson said that you're a great young leader and that it is a great history of, excellent history of Overtown. He saw
Thank
it as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I just love it. I love it. Okay, I'm going to set you guys back here. Nice. All right, so it is almost close to your bedtime.
Aww.
So
I do got to go to school in the morning.
We are going to get you out of here. But if you could tell everybody once again how they can get info. And those of you, you know, I would hope that you will come out and join us to see some of the short films.
Yes.
When can just the general audience come see the films that the kids are doing?
Actually, on May 19th. That's going to be it's a free event. So nobody's paying anything. Everything is free.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the submission is free too, you know, because, you know, when I was, you know, submitting films, I had to pay $50 up to $100, but I didn't want to do that to anybody. I just want people to show their films.
But you're going to be sharing that information with them to know
exactly.
What to be.
And everything is
going to
be on my Facebook. If you just search up Elijah Wells Films on Facebook and Eventbrite, and all the information is going to be there.
Awesome. Sounds good. Elijah Wells.
Hey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We love you. We will see you on May 19th.
Yep.
And my brothers, the other sons of the city, Ronnie VOP, Jay Shin, Urban Mystic, Don Trail Johnson, and some surprises are outside. They'll be back, and we'll be back in just a few. I am Jill Tracy, and this is Hot Talk.
On 105.
Kind of love. A love to last past Saturday night. And I'd like to know, it's more than love at first sight. And I want a Sunday kind of love. Oh yeah, yeah. I want a love that's on the square. Can't seem to find somebody, someone to care. And I'm on a lonely road that leads to nowhere. I need a Sunday kind of love. I do my Sunday dreaming, oh yeah, and all my Sunday scheming, every minute, every hour, every day. A certain kind of lover who will show me the way in my arms. Need someone to enfold, to keep me warm when Mondays and Tuesdays grow cold. Love for all my life to have and to hold. Oh, and I want a Sunday kind of love. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't want a Monday, Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, Friday. Oh! Sunday. I want a Sunday kind of love. Oh, yeah. Sunday.
To join Hot Talk, call 888-550-9105. And now, back to Hot Talk.
And we're back. Just a little Etta James to segue into our next panel. I love that song. I used to start my show in L.A. That after I left here.
Well, we
went there already.
Did we go through that already?
But yeah, I did Jazz and Blues with Jill Tracy at K-Jazz.
Yes.
K-Jazz, Long Beach, California, on the campus of University of California. Right, Long Beach.
Of course.
I used to say that a million times. But that was a great gig. I learned a lot of music history there.
Did you like L.A.?
I loved L.A.
Yes,
it just was too far from my mom. My mom had a heart attack, and I was all the way out there.
Oh my God!
You know, okay. And in radio, you don't always have that savings account and the way my bank account was set up.
I do understand.
It was a little difficult to get here on time.
I do understand.
So I said, "Well, I think I need to be a little closer to home."
Right.
And then the station switched from jazz to public radio.
By the way, there are no more jazz stations left.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was one of the last great straight ahead stations.
True. You're right.
And yeah, they switched to NPR, and that was all she wrote. Yeah. So, I used to, like, I was there, it was like midnight to, there's something about me in late night, but I was there from midnight to six, and, you know, jazz records are long, they could be, you know, 11, 12 minutes.
Right.
And so I would go in the, we had like a library with
Starbucks
all of the,
come back and the records still
really, honestly, but we had a library, because we still had albums then, this was like 2006 or 7,
right.
But they still had albums, and I would just be reading the liner notes and stuff from old music, and playing, and how about I could play what I wanted to play. Imagine that.
Oops.
That was the one thing.
That's not going to happen anytime soon.
That'll never happen on popular radio ever again.
Yes.
But yeah, I had like 3 songs an hour. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, right?
The good old days.
Those, let me tell you.
2007.
Right. The good old days. Oh, all welcome right, back. Then. We are here. Now, I mentioned to you that we had some illustrious guests coming to the studio. Old school, new school, but all South Florida. Sons of the city here in South Florida. I heard this song for the first time. Did you play it for me? Did Ronnie play it for me? I'm not sure. But when I heard it, I called Cedric.
I think it was Ronnie, and then yeah, you and I talked.
And I called Cedric immediately, and I was like, oh, this is it.
This is it.
This song is just on another level, and it is really what we need at this time. And I told him, I was like, you know, every movement needs a soundtrack.
True.
And I really feel like this song, Set Me Free, is the soundtrack of South Florida's struggle now to move into a new place. I think that, you know, one of the reasons why we're having just the level of unrest and violence and is because we're growing and we're about to make a really big growth spurt. And God willing, we're going to do it in a safe way and in a way that helps everybody. But you think about those great movements, you know, in our history, and you think about the music of the times, and it was inspirational. It was not booties and,
well, that's what it used to be.
Groceries and things like that. Don't start movements.
It used to be inspirational.
Yeah. And so this song, Set Me Free, that is written by Ronnie VOP. And I'm going to let you kind of tell us how this came to your heart and how you made this record happen.
Well, I was actually,
can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are.
I was actually working on my album, you know, Would You Mind has brought me so much success, and now finishing up the album. And it was something that I wanted to touch on anyway, but I can honestly say that the passing of King Carter made me want to expedite it anymore. I wanted to get it out as fast as possible because mm-hmm. I felt like it was time for the change. Originally, it was supposed to be myself and featuring my boy Zorenzo, who's here with us. And we started writing on the song, but then something in me just told me that I needed to get everybody involved, all of my R&B colleagues, I should say. And I just started calling everybody immediately. I think the first person I called was Urban Mystic. And then from there, I started calling Urban to Pleasure P, to Dontrell and Mayor Mo and Jay Shin and all the rest of the guys. And we just made it happen within a few days. I did the demo at Jed's house, and I sent it to everybody. Everybody loved it. And we got inside the studio at Flow Rida Studio. We want to thank them for the time. And we recorded the song 18 hours straight.
Wow. It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, one of the great things. Now, you are a fan of Mike. Would I be right in saying you're a fan of Michael Jackson?
I think I'm past the fan, okay. Honestly.
So, I'm just saying. I'm trying to be polite. So.
Mike is like my uncle. He doesn't even know it.
Right. But when I heard the song, I heard him.
Wow.
You know, and that, and in more than one way, I think that there's a cadence about your voice that is warm and loving like his voice was. But I also felt the way that you share the mic with your brothers mm-hmm. on the song was very Mike-like. Mm-hmm. I think that you really presented an opportunity for each one of them to shine in a way that people may not have, A, never heard them, or have not heard them in a long time.
Right.
And I think that is really gracious. And that, you know, again, I've said many times, from the first time I saw you spinning around on that stage in Miramar.
That was the first time we met.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, because when I left there, I was like, okay, this kid's got it.
Thank you.
And, you know, and I saw it then. And so I'm glad to see the progression of where you're going with it. And the brothers, you know, the brothers that you are surrounding yourself with.
Right.
Because success loves success. And the brothers that you've chosen to be a part of this also have really great moments in their history and moments to come
right.
of brilliance.
Definitely.
So let's start on this side. And I'll have everybody introduce themselves. I'm going to start with you.
All right.
Who always surprises me.
Oh, it's an honor to be here. Thank you for having us. I am Urban Mystic, born and raised right here from South Florida.
That is amazing to me. You're from the County of Dade.
Right.
Born and raised in the County of Dade.
Right, right. Actually, born in Fort Lauderdale. Grew up in Hollywood, Florida.
Okay.
Lived down in Miami for a couple years and then moved back to Fort Lauderdale. So I'm just Broward County, Dade County, I'm all over South Florida.
So what was like your first hit?
My first hit we released in 2004 was Where Were You?
That okay.
Was we went to BET with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they showed a lot of love on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you've just been grinding.
Just been grinding, still doing it. Just released my latest record, Soulful Classics. We did an album in tribute to the
I saw school. That cover. I love it.
Yes.
Evan, did you bring it?
Do we have one back, Bo?
It's too many of y'all in here not to have no album. I am sorry. Somebody, y'all better appear with this CD quick. It's too many of y'all. Everybody in this room that's got music, it better be in front of me when I go to the next break. Oh, you're all fired. I'm firing them for you.
Yes, yes.
Firing you all for them.
Yes, yes.
I'm so sorry. Callers, Devin in Fort Lauderdale, line 2, forgive me. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk.
Good night, Jen.
Good night, Devin. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. It's a very commendable thing that you're doing. Even the young people applaud.
Thank you.
Especially in the field of art, you know, i.e. filmmaking. And I'm so impressed as a black man to know that my sister has given my people a voice, especially the young people, giving them a chance to be heard and to show their talent. Enough respect, yeah?
Thank you, Devin. I appreciate that so much. And thank you for being my longtime listener. I love you. Rebecca on line one. Hey, welcome to Hot Talk. I love that.
How you doing, Jill?
I'm good, sunshine. How are you?
I just want to let you know I am loving the theme for tonight, Sons of South Florida. I am either familiar with a few of them or either know them like when they first started. And
right?
Elijah Wells to be the first. I'm still having flashbacks of his mom having him play something for me on his drum set that he had just got at 5 years old.
Wow.
So it's a beautiful thing to see what he's doing. Ronnie VOP, you know, I've seen him on the scene, and then, you know, we've unfortunately had the opportunity to see each other at two, you know, big funerals here in South Florida recently.
Mm.
But that set me free. You hit it on the head of what the vibe is, and I told him myself that it is the new age. We are the world, and yeah. Heal the world.
Yeah, most definitely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely, you can completely feel it. And I, you know, stand by, everybody, because I'm going to play a little bit of it. Well, I'm going to play the full song for you coming up. But yeah, it is just inspired. And, you know, that kind of thing does not, it does, that's the kind of thing that wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And you like run, you know,
yes.
And find something to record it on. It definitely is. Rebecca, thanks so much for the love, my dear. I'll talk to you soon. Okay, I'm trying to come back, you guys, on, oh, that's what that is. That's Facebook Live, counting down. I was like, okay, I'm sorry I hung up on you guys, but we had to. I'm multitasking, and that doesn't work so much. Okay, now, moving on to the other side of the room.
Hello, my name is Jay Shan, and I am the son of Dade County.
Okay, indeed. Jay and I go back so far.
Yes.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Wait a minute, I was pulling pictures today, and I pulled the one from the first album cover.
Right.
And I remember our interviews at the old building.
Oh, yes.
We didn't still call it the old building on 67th Street. Man, those are the days.
Yes, yes.
Those are the days. So now, you're still busy.
Oh, yeah,
you're still
definitely.
Traveling and booking and...
Oh, yes, man.
Are you working on new material now?
Yes. I have the new song out now titled If You Did It, I Did It. I'm actually traveling. I did Florida. Actually, a promotion tour through Florida. I'm getting ready to leave Thursday. I'm headed to Alabama, Atlanta, North Carolina, South Carolina. But, you know, I'm still moving around. Again, it's a great thing to, you know, actually be blessed not only to have the voice that I have, but to be able to have the energy and to be in the game as long as I've been in the game.
Amen.
And still keep doing it. You know, yeah. It's a blessing.
It is a real blessing. And right next to you, sharing the mic with you, is the baby of the bunch. Dontrell, how are you, sir?
What's up, everybody? I'm great. This is your boy Dontrell, and I am an artist and a product of Dade County,
and quite a showman. I just have to tell you all. Wait a minute. His first concert. You know how you did your first show, and you know all your family was there, and everybody in the neighborhood showed up, and you did a little show, and you was done. This boy had a 2-hour concert, 7 wardrobe changes, backup dance. I mean, when I tell you they brought it, you know.
I want to thank you for that. And I can't even thank you, you know, enough for being a part of that and making that night so special, you know.
It was great.
Thank you. You know, it was a project dear to my heart. And I'm just glad that you enjoyed yourself.
So listen, is that the rapper, the one I really like, that is he working with you? He was like, I don't know, the third or fourth person up. I introduced him to Cedric and everything.
Yes, T.Y. Polo. At the moment, no, he's not working with me.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just, you know, super excited for one to be a part of Set Me Free, because I don't too much even think about it as a project. I think about it as a, you know, a piece of art, because the message itself is just beautiful. And then I have an 11-year-old brother. He just turned 11, and sometimes I look at him, you know, and I look at my other brother, and it could have been one of us. So, you know, if you have the chance to speak up and, you know, to make your voice be heard, why not take it? And I was just honored that Ronnie even thought of me to do this song.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And now, and somebody else is on, Pleasure P is on the song?
Yes.
But he's not here.
Our big brother.
He's
no,
never anywhere. But we send
love to him wherever he is right now at the moment. We know he's a busy guy.
Yeah.
Still working hard, touring, and, you know, all over the country as well.
So. Yeah. Well, shout out to you, Pleasurable. And
Pleasure P.
Glad you were on the song. So let me ask you guys. When Elijah was here just an hour ago, I asked him when we were talking about when you knew your, you know, genius moment came. And because he's so young, he's like 19 and he's on you know, he's doing film festivals and things now in his own name. And he said, you know, he was like 12 when he realized that this gift was going to take him where he wanted to go. So I want to go around the room and ask you, what was that moment when you knew, okay, I can, all the rest of that can fall off because I'm pursuing, this is me, this is my life, and I'm going to pursue it until I succeed. We'll start with you, Dontrell.
Okay, well, wow. I can sing as long as I can. You know, I came out the womb singing, came out the womb dancing. But elementary school, I kind of had a passion for dancing, and that's all I was really focusing on until I got ready to move to middle school. And I heard of this school program that this teacher named Miss Seidel runs. And, you know, I auditioned for them. I had to sing. You know, singing really wasn't, you know, what I was going for and everything. I got there and I started singing, and, you know, it hit me that, you know, that's a passion that I wanted to do. And then since middle school, I kind of took off and I kind of stuck with it.
Yeah. And Jay, Jay, I have one for you. Erica Jones says, hey, chill. Tell Jay Shin we miss him in the scene. Treat You Better will forever be my song.
Oh, thank you.
That's
thank
sweet.
You.
Don't you love when you hear that?
Oh, my goodness. See, oh, my goodness.
Thank you, Erica.
Thank you, Erica.
So when was it for you, Jay?
Well for me, you know, coming up in middle school, I always did like local talent shows, and it was just something for me was a hobby. Mm-hmm. But in high school, when I met T-Double D, and he was working on an album. I always say, I never say the album name. I always say the one he was with, the Food Stamp Dollar.
Okay.
That's the one I say. but when he came to me and asked me to come to the studio, and I went in the studio with him, and then I started looking at the business of the, when we talk about music, and he had me to go in the booth and sing a couple of songs that took me on the road. And I said to myself, you know what? That was the moment I was like, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. This is me.
Yeah.
I can see myself doing it, and hey, I'm here today.
Yeah, I love that. Ronnie?
Well, for me, I've been performing since I was 7. My grandmother taught me practically everything I know. But also coming from a musically inclined family, you know, I come from a family that has been very successful in the entertainment industry. One of my influences being my great uncle, who is Sidney Poitier. And
I'm sorry, you don't just drop something like that. Oh, my great uncle is Sidney Poitier.
Like, you didn't know that.
What?
Yeah, that's my great uncle.
No, I didn't know that.
My grandfather is his brother. My grandfather is Cyril Poitier. When Uncle Sidney moved to the Bahamas,
okay,
to Miami.
So you come by it naturally. It's in the genes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see it now.
You do?
Yes,
you see the resemblance?
Yes.
Like, everybody says that.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like when I bring it up, everybody's like, I see it.
See, you at home right now, you're going to look at a picture of Ronnie going, oh my God, yes, I see it. Okay.
But yeah, just, you know, seeing my uncle struggles and, you know, especially in those times. And I figure, you know, if he can do it, I know I definitely can do it. And another thing would be for me, when I was at the age of 14, I had the privilege to perform with P. Diddy at the Super Bowl kickoff in front of thousands of people. So I think that experience right there, meeting him and being around everyone, a lot of celebrities that night, I think that really reassured that I can definitely do this.
You could do this.
Yes.
It's definitely funny because that happened to me when I interviewed P. Diddy. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm there now. This is it. Yeah, I mean, he, you know, just recently, it was in the past month or so, I got a chance to interview him one-on-one at his house.
Oh, wow.
And it was just surreal. It was just another thing. And what was so striking to me, you know, that he has been grinding at that level for 20 years.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He, you know, I mean, he's been in the game for probably 30 or whatever. So just the amassed wealth and portfolio that he commands out of pursuing a dream.
Right.
Amazing.
Mind-boggling. And it just filled me just with so much enthusiasm that this was a black man.
Right.
That built it by himself. Nobody, it wasn't a parent, it wasn't somebody gave it to him. He built all this, you know? And, you know, just, yeah. And it's very humble now. It seems to me, I met Puffy somewhere in his career about 15 years ago. And humility and him did not go in the same room. But I think the level that he's of success and the longevity has humbled him. you know, in a way that has been very positive.
I got a humble spirit. Even when we did, maybe because I was younger, but I really found him to be a very nice guy, very caring too.
Yeah.
You know, he definitely made sure that me and the other kids that were involved in the performance were okay. We were good. We had all access. We can do whatever we wanted to do. It was a great time.
Awesome. And Urban?
Yes. I definitely have to say, well, anybody who knows me or don't know me probably can hear it from my voice, but I come from the church. Mic check, 1, 2, there we go. Grew up singing in the church, and I have to say that was where I figured out and learned that this is something that I need to do as far as a career, take it and run with it, being the youngest in the church and having to stand up on milk crates. That's why when Larry Dog just handed you the stool, I thought it was being funny.
Shout out to Larry Dog.
Larry Dog, my
always
brother in the
building, yeah. No matter where the building is.
I thought Larry he was telling Dog. Me I need to step up to the mic. But I came up doing that, and my oldest brother, Po Boy, rapper from here, South Florida.
He
took me in the studio, and we worked and went in there, and I heard myself finally play back on tape. I always would hear myself sing, and once hearing that tape play back, and I we ain't left the studio yet.
I love it.
Yes.
Yeah, well, the first time I heard your voice, I was like, I'm sorry, who is that? Please, somebody. Because I'm trying to think of where it was. But then when I saw you at, when you sang at our 30th anniversary concert,
that
was a run from backstage.
Appreciate that.
But, I guess it's always been like you said, from being in the church, that you open your mouth. Because you have that, the voice.
Yes.
When you open your mouth, it's like... Yeah, because you all, it's a surprise. You know what I'm saying? You don't, when you speak, you don't have that, like Terry Alexander. Remember when Terry would open his mouth? I can't even do it. And like Freddie Cruz, when they open their mouth, it's just you know. Yeah, I love it. Did we have a caller? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Oh, that was on here. All right. Gene 305 Bigino Noel says, tell Jay Shin I said what it is. And
what it
he is. And Ingrid says, what I notice about, she's in ATL.
Oh, yeah.
And Ingrid says, what I notice about ATL radio is that they play a lot of their local artists. Okay, I'm going to write you back, M-E-S-S-Y, Ingrid B. Would you like to answer that, Cedric Hollywood?
I'm no longer programming a radio station, so, I can't really answer that.
Okay.
And by the way, Hot 105 is playing my artist.
So two
of my artists are on the song.
Well, but it's true that it's difficult for local.
I'm very happy about that. And then I just had another meeting at a radio station owned by Cox. And it looks like they're going to be playing the songs too. I don't
want
to say which one yet because.
And it's not because of a relationship. It really, it isn't. It's a great song. I don't want people to believe that it's.
It's like Fort Knox up in here.
Yeah.
It's hard to get up in here. It's hard to get a meeting just because I used to work here. Don't think it's like that. It ain't like that. You know?
No, it's not. It's because you have really good projects.
It's got to bring a real song and it's got to be, and you're on a clock. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes. Okay, what you got?
But let me ask you something. Let me ask you that. Quite honestly, when you ride for your city, and it is difficult to get your music played in that city. I mean, what kind of place does that put you in mentally as an artist? I'm going to ask Jay because he has the longest history, I think, of, being in the city and being on and off in terms of, your city repping for you.
Right. Well, for me, what I try to just focus on is the love for the music.
Right.
I have been on the radio. We talk about all three of the radio stations here in Florida, and I have my run. And I'm still in the process of, putting out great music. But I just focus on the music. And I tell myself, because I have the Lord on my side,
amen.
I focus on the music and I just do me. And whatever the Lord have for me, it's going to be. And again, I'm going to just keep pushing, I'm going to keep driving, and it's going to happen. So I really don't focus on it at all. I don't. Yeah.
And Mystic, Urban, Mystic.
I just had the amen, my brother.
Okay, just amen.
I just had the amen.
Now, you know what? And I say to you all the time, I say of Urban Mystic all the time, that your name and your voice just... How did you get the name Urban Mystic?
When we signed with the company Sobe Entertainment out of Miami,
right?
We was drumming through some names, and I got a chance to live with the CEO for a little while. We got a chance to know each other, and he said, "You know what? After living with you, man, I want to put a name and see if you'll accept it." He said, "Urban Mystic." And at first we was like, "Urban Mystic, where does this name come from?" And it pretty much, he said it pretty much describes you. Urban, you know, speaks of where you come from, you know, your area. I come from the urban backgrounds, the urban areas. my people, I relate to the urban people. And Mystic has this, we looked it up, it has a spiritual related meaning behind it. And that's me all day as well. I'm very spiritually backgrounded, brought up in the church. Dad was a minister, mama played the organ. I sang in the choir. So, you know, it's definitely a beautiful thing to be here.
Because I thought when I heard it, when I saw it, I should say, not when I heard it, but when I saw it, I thought he should probably be singing backup for Erykah Badu or somebody. or opening for Erykah Badu.
Yes,
Urban Mystic.
Hey, Jill.
Yes.
In defense of some of the current program directors, I should say that they can't play as many songs as I could. So when the Urban Mystic came in, you know, I could play his song.
Right.
When Jay Shin would come in the building, I could play his song.
I remember right. that.
But
I remember.
But the current program directors, in defense of them, they're being told how many songs they can play, and it's about half the amount that I can
right.
play.
Right, and that's really what I was going for
right.
in terms of the, you know, people don't really understand. They call in the radio and say, "Hey, I want to hear so-and-so,"
right.
you know, and they think that you have the ability to just, "Oh, I'll play that for you right now," and you can't. It's just not even an option.
One of my theories are, and just what I commend my brother Ronnie VLP, for putting this project together.
Yes.
And, you know, this plays a part. What one of the girls, the callers just text and say, Atlanta put their artists on. They play their artists, right?
Right.
So this is what it's about, and it's all about supporting each other and coming together. And this like what we just did. This is a great example, and I hope that it was the spark to start something, a whole nother movement
right.
down here. You know, if we artists, if
That's
you
great,
rap
yeah.
and I sing, you know, if I'm on radio, you rap. Come on and get on a song with me. So now we both on the radio,
right?
You know, and now we all everybody looking out for each other. And that's
yeah.
You know,
and
let me
add to that, because in Atlanta they've been doing that for years.
Right. Yeah.
This is an example of what can happen when just these artists come together. Imagine, because that's what they say about us. They laugh about us all over the country. They come down here and record, and they say we don't have it together because everybody doing their own project, but nobody works together. That's foreign to them, because in Atlanta, everybody's on everybody else's project.
Right.
Everybody's yeah. trying to help the other one get to the next level. So what Ronnie has done is put a spark to that. And hopefully this will be the example for the rest of the artists to show what can happen when we all come together.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
here, all their voices are on the radio. Every time that song is played, you're going to hear Don Trail, Urban Mystic, Jay Shin, Ronnie VOP, Pleasure P on one song.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it can happen.
Yeah, no, and it's a beautiful thing. And when you wait. Take us to break. Okay, so listen. Wait, this is the best. So they come in the studio. Those of you who have not seen, I can't even say where you've seen it, but those of you who know, you've heard this Birdman interview, this 2-minute interview that happened. Okay, so.
My oh, name.
So listen, wait. So when they were
That's
coming in
saying.
The studio, they were doing the Hamiltones version. So I'm going to ask them to do that and take us to break. Can we do that, brothers?
Fellas.
There it is.
Cut it down.
I'm gonna let y'all cut it down, and we'll be back on the other side.
One, two, three, and put some respect on it.
When you say my name,
put some respect on it.
You better respect it.
Put some respect on it.
Yeah.
Put some respect on it.
When I walk in the room,
put some respect on it.
When you see me coming,
put some respect on it.
When they say my name,
put some respect on it.
You better put some respect,
put some respect on it.
When you hear Hot 105,
put some respect on it.
With Jill Tracy,
put some respect on it. Put some respect on it.
Put some respect on it.
Put some respect on it.
Woo!
Put some respect on it.
Woo! All right, then.
Put some respect on it.
Your views matter to us. Call Hot Talk at
550-9105.
To join Hot Talk, call 888-550-9105. And now, back to Hot Talk.
They need advice from the elders. And when I hear about they dying, they get killed, or they killing each other, I think, what went wrong?
Can you imagine being a victim of a crime that should have never happened, but it took a life? And now a mother is mourning because a baby boy is gone, never return back from the other side.
Who would have thought in daylight that a child playing freely would take his last breath from another hand?
Oh, and this is killing our future. So it's time to take that stand and do everything we possibly can.
'Cause we say that we want our peace, but it seems that we can't have what we dream if we don't come together.
It's time for us to make that change for our children's sake. My brother, with your weapon, please
set me free. Please stop killing me. Set me free. change now. Put those guns down.
Raise your peace signs, yeah.
Raise your peace signs. Time for change now.
Time for change.
Time for change now.
And thank you and good night. I can't follow that. Oh my God, that was beautiful. Welcome back to Hot Talk. And that was, yes, Set Me Free, the record and the live version that you heard there. Now listen, there are so many other voices on the song, and I'm just pleased and humbled that you're all here. So when I was talking about all those people that were coming in the studio, I didn't know they were all on the record. So can we introduce the other voices that are on the record? So, okay, so let's start over here. I'm not going to mispronounce your name again. Yeah.
My name is Maor Mo.
Maor Mo.
Yeah.
Love that. And Jay Howard's over here. Okay, and what's your name?
My name is Jay Howard. Jay Howard.
Oh, you're Jay Howard.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and... Okay, I have two projects in front of me. I have my own Moors, Maor Mo. I don't know why that.
Maor.
Maor.
You
know
go.
What? Like Maor.
You got it.
There you go. Maor Moor.
Yeah.
Now I got it. Okay.
It's all
I have
good.
His project, and I have Urban Mystics. I don't have anybody else's CDs in front of me. Okay. And who else is on over there?
Well, we have Jed over here to the left.
Jed. Okay, and?
And Zorenzo.
Lorenzo.
Zorenzo.
Zorenzo.
Yes, Zorenzo.
All right.
That actually helped me write the record, Set Me Free.
Zorenzo.
Myself and Zorenzo,
awesome.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so you said that, you know, really King's Murder was like your inspiration.
Yes.
But all of you all know that, you know, gun violence in our community is at an epic level. Mm-hmm. And just as, you know, young men who have made it this far.
Yes.
I'd like for you to share what being a part of this project means to you and what you hope that you being a part of it is going to say to other young men like you. Maor.
Yeah, I would like to just say that with everything that's going on right now, especially in the music industry, where everything that's popular and it's buzzing being so negative, I think that it's amazing that we can all come together and spread some positivity, not just in Miami, but just in America in general. I think we're setting the tone, and we're setting the tone for hope for the future. And I'm just so humble and grateful to be a part of this, because it's so much bigger than music. It's just for a betterment of our society and who we are as a country and as a people.
Amen. Jason.
Well, what it means to me, Set Me Free, again, when we can come together collectively, you know, as R&B artists, singers out of Miami, and to do an amazing song like this with Zorenzo and Ronnie VOP actually putting a song together to bring the guys together, man, it was amazing. And I really enjoyed it. You know what I'm saying? And then again, when we talk about our community, me being from Dade County, born and raised in PSU projects, Polk and Bean projects, I grew up in all that little area. So
really?
I know all the surrounding things that go on. And to be able to come together with a song like this, man, to actually curve the community, and actually when it comes to the kids, you know what I'm saying, to give them a better view when we talk about music, you know what I'm saying? Because like you say, you got hip-hop really controlling the airways right now, and I feel good to have a group of guys, you know what I'm saying, come together.
Yes.
We talk about R&B out of Miami.
Yeah.
To do something
Amen.
Like this is amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I I've been in the business and I had an opportunity to travel all over. But to actually come together on this project, I wouldn't change it for the world. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? I'm enjoying this here more.
It's a beautiful thing.
I'm enjoying it more.
I would say definitely being from Miami. And once again, like I said, I was working on it for my solo album. And the reason I wanted a song like this was because of what was going on. But, you know, due to the passing of King Carter, I definitely felt like I didn't need to sleep on it any longer or just make it a song that just made the project and wasn't pushed. You know, I knew that it was bigger than that. when God, I would say, that gave me the vision to call all the brothers, I already knew what it was that he appointed me to do. And I just wanted to make sure that I was obedient. Amen. And I'm so glad that when I called everybody with my last minute self, I'm so last minute.
Listen, you know what? I have started to, I have learned that, because people always tell you, and artists, you know, they always say you need to be on time, which is true, but you know, artist on time is less than 30 minutes late.
Hey, if and you want them there at 11, tell them to come.
Tell
at
10. Them, this is what, you know, it's always
and
tell people,
be on time.
If you need me there at 10, tell me 8:30. I'm going to be on time. Because we're always trying to put, you know, that's one thing about being in the industry, period, is that you're always trying to do 20 things at one time.
True.
So that's a lot of times why you're late. It's not trying to be a prima donna or nothing like that. It's like we are juggling so many things. You've got your personal life. You've got the music life. You've got all the things that require your time. How many do I do that I'm not going to get paid? Which ones are important for me to do, even though I'm not going to make no money? But you know, and how do I make that up, because my rent is due next week? And then but there's so many things when you are an artist pursuing your dream, that money does, it's not like getting a check every 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? So you have to hustle, and a lot of time that hustle does not respect time. And you know,
I think no, that's very true. I think you have to trust and believe in your passion and in your dream and what you're going for. Even with a record like this, some people may say, especially in today's generation, some people may say, y'all crazy, y'all ain't getting paid. But honestly, sometimes as artists, we have to get back to how it was back in the day when we set time for themselves. You had some of the biggest pop artists of all time back in the 80s that left the American Music Awards to go to the studio to record We
Thank
Are the
you.
World.
Thank you.
And our children shouldn't feel like they have to go decades back to, you know, the music that our parents listened to, which is great music, don't get me wrong, but we should have grabbed from that same aura and learned from that and brought it into this generation, because music is so influential. And I truly believe that the music that plays today is the reason why a lot of kids take the routes that they take and do the things that they do. Music will make you want to love. Music will make you cry. And sometimes, sadly, music will make you want to hurt somebody if you're listening to the wrong type of
thing.
Music.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that God appointed me to, you know, put together something like this and something positive for the kids. See, and it's amazing. Long story short, I actually performed this song already twice. I did it at Peace in the Gardens, and I did it at Jammin' in the Park, and we had hundreds of CDs. I kid you not, never in my life have I ran out of all my CDs at one time, and people literally in a line crying because of the message that this song brings across.
Yeah. He ran out of posters too.
Yeah, we ran out of everything. Beautiful. Cedric was there. My mother was there. It was incredible.
I love it. Well, you know, I'm hoping that the same thing happens at Overtown Music Festival.
Let's make it happen.
That would be the joy of my life, Nikki. to see all of you all on stage doing Set Me Free.
Because
that is Overtown Music Festival. It's one of the great festivals that we have, because it really is just a community. You know what I'm saying? And it's something about looking out on Second Ave from that stage and just seeing just a sea of people. This is the third year that I've been a part of it. And well, last year I think it was. And we always sit on stage and laugh that if you told people you were going to bring 10,000 people together in Overtown and there was not going to be one incident, you know, they would laugh you out of town. And there's never once been an incident, because I really believe that Headliner Market Group do it. They created this from a place of love, of showing love back to the people that support them so hard. And that is why. It happens like it's a free show, you know, it's all day. And that is why it's received the way that it was meant to be. Valerie on line one. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk, Valerie.
I just wanted to say thank you for being on tonight. I don't sleep well lately, but when I heard Elijah Wood on talking about Overtown, I was born and raised in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And all I know is there was no prejudice when I was there, so this music is just wonderful. And I was the first person that worked with Jazz in the Gardens.
Oh, wow.
So that was one of our first concerts over there when it was Joe Robbie Stadium. So fast forward back, the 50s, the 60s, the 90s, the 2000s. I just love you. You're so funny.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I said, if I had already passed, you guys are right off I-95. I was like, I just want to go in there and watch everybody laugh, because I'm working three part-time jobs. I just buried six of my family members who are crazy Cuban, white, crazy Cuban. Okay.
Wow.
And white and crazy. And having been born down there, I was looking through all my pictures about the last 4 years, burying all my family members with pictures at funerals, and they're all gorgeous pictures when I lived down in Overtown. I was on 42nd and 12th, and I had, listen to this, a Russian nanny, a Cuban grandfather, a black babysitter. My best friend's name was the same Valerie, and they go, black Valerie, white Valerie. I go, she's not black. She's really pretty chocolate, like a Hershey bar. I loved her. And Ken and Laura were the parents. I never knew that was a big deal. I just never knew that in 1960.
I love that story.
My parents were crazy. And I was like, you know, I didn't know this crap till then. I moved to Hialeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lordy.
Right.
You cracked me up so much. I was like, and I said, and I listened to you. I was in Atlanta 3 years ago. I had a friend of mine with special, I usually help special needs, animal rescue, anything that's, you know, people are, suffering with. But when I was listening to you, I was like, thank God an intelligent woman is on tonight. I don't have to listen to men about politics.
Okay.
You guys have the best stuff.
Thank you so much, Valerie. That
I
means so much.
To say that, and I wish I could stop by, but I got to be at work at 7 a.m.
Okay.
My third part-time job.
Well, you have to hang out with us on Facebook Live then, so you can, so then you can roll over and go to sleep.
At work, 'cause I live in the house of Lucifer 2.0. <at the moment. laughs> I don't know how else to say that.
Okay.
That's just the way it is. And I was like, can't we go back to Freddy Pacheco and Cassius Clay? He was our neighbor. He rode a Vespa Honda over to the street. And we'd go down there to the Big Shrimp and everything down there. I just remember life was so good in the 60s there.
Yeah,
and the
music
was wonderful outside every day. And the cooking was great. And I don't know.
That's why we, you know, we venture here to bring that same kind of spirit of information.
Aretha Franklin, The Supremes, the double album. I have it in the blue double
album. Okay, you say I still have the original one. Yeah, well, it's, you know, we do hope that we are going to turn. We reached the.
I was sitting there. People don't even know what albums are, but I was sitting there. And I mean, Ray Charles and James Brown, and then you know then. I was like, Elvis was okay. He was all right. But I sat there and I said, I learned to dance when I was 5. So I had to teach myself to dance so I could be a cheerleader for Hialeah High. And I had to learn. So I asked my best friends, Ricky Brown and Grady Jones, I asked them, please teach me dance. And I did a movement in Hialeah when I moved from Miami to Hialeah. I said, I got to go back down there because only Edison High, Northwestern High, Jackson High had girls who could dance.
Okay. And well, you know. It's in the soil, baby.
I hear you guys laughing. I said, I wish I just could go back over New York just to hear you laugh outside. Because the music and the stories and that young man you were talking to, Mo and all them and the band there, what beautiful words.
Yeah.
Remember, you could play in the street without any trepidation, any problems. Oh my
exactly.
God, what a beautiful song.
Exactly. Well, thank you, doll. And you stay with us. We're actually on our way out now. It's it goes by quick in here, man. Okay, so where did I leave? Who did I miss? Jay?
Zorenzo.
Yes.
Child. I want to call everybody Jay Howard now. I don't know. That's the one name like I've stuck in my head. Okay. Yes.
Back to the question?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, can you repeat the question? Although I remember it, I just still want people, the listeners, to know exactly what the question was.
Oh, do you think they forgot?
Okay, for those who didn't forget, I guess, the whole experience the whole experience has been humbling.
Yeah.
First and foremost, being here with you, Jill Tracy, I love your voice. I feel
Thank
like you,
you
are the voice of Miami.
Thank you so much.
I've been sitting being
from
all
your
quiet,
mouth to God's ears.
I'm a huge, huge fan of yours.
Thank
like
you
when I hear
so
you talk,
much.
It just reminds me of good times in Miami, listening to music and
Yay.
Watching videos and stuff. But
twice
I can also
I
can also say the same thing for when Ronnie called me. We are, like he said, we already initially planned on doing a song about violence and, you know, in our community or whatever. But when he pitched the idea to include all of these other wonderful voices, I tell you no lie, I instantly started crying on the phone.
Yeah.
Like once we hung up, I started crying.
I
just started crying
because
I'm like, wow.
You didn't tell me that, bro.
Why would I tell you, man?
You didn't tell
me
that, bro.
Right,
why would I tell you that? How would I tell you? It would take like a compelling moment like this for
Thank
me to say
you
that.
To share that.
You know,
Thank
well,
you. Well,
and,
that's what's up.
Yeah, that's what happened. I instantly knew that change was happening.
Yeah.
Just from that, you know, us. I feel like more than just spreading the message of the song, we're showing our fellow artists in Miami how to do it, how to come together, exactly. you know, as a unit, because yeah. we can't expect the outsiders to help us.
Yeah. And I think
we have to come together and do it.
I think that you are, you know, 1,000% on the money, because that is, you know, and I think that those mystic spirits are starting to come together, because that's the entire premise of this show. Right. That, you know, I really feel like for a lot of my life, I've kind of been on that other side. I was not in the room, you know,
right.
for whatever reason, people didn't think that I was appropriate for that room. And so when I started this show, my only goal for the show was to let everybody know that everybody deserves a seat at the table. Everybody has mm-hmm. something to give, right. you know, and it doesn't, and you can learn something from anybody. You know, right, you just really have to be open to other voices, you know, and you have to come to the table with more than a fork and an appetite, definitely. You know what I'm saying? And so I think, just like Ronnie said, I think if you, and who was it? Wendy's founder, if you build it, they will come, whoever that was. I feel like I send out the bat signal, you know, and the right spirits right. are coming into the space, and then our audience is receiving it that way. So
it's beautiful.
It is a beautiful thing. Movement. And
well, most definitely when Ronnie gave me the call,
right,
he was trying to explain the whole spiel to me, and I was like, bro, I don't need to hear all of that. I'm down.
Would you say I'm just down? It's like, it's all good.
He told me what it was about, and I just heard the positive, you know, about doing a song for the community and to try to change this world system. I was like, bro, that's yeah. a no-brainer. You
it's because I'm long-winded, right?
Yeah, you can go.
It took every call. It took me 5 minutes to get to the point.
I could go too. I think we talk each other ears off, but. Right. You know, like you say, playing this song for just that amount of minutes, something that they're not hearing, some garbage, you know what I'm saying? Something
right.
that's leading them in the wrong direction. So,
yeah.
I mean, hey, if we could touch one person with this song, I'm happy.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Larry Dog, you want to record too?
I want to tell all y'all one thing. You, and you. 1, 2. Three.
What?
Put some respect on it.
When you say my name.
Put some respect on it.
Why you didn't put me on no record?
Put some respect on it.
What if I'm too old for the record?
Put some respect on it.
But hey, as many people as they have on
record, this record,
it could have been messy. You got to understand something. Yeah. God definitely touched.
Oh no, it's definitely.
You think about it, look at even all the people, and this ain't even everybody.
Right.
And look how beautiful the song came out. It's just amazing to me that they were able to put a record together like this, considering how many people are involved. You put a lot of us together, it could come out real messy.
And you can, but you know, like we said, the intent was there when you opened the door right. to this, and when you reached out to each of them, that was going to be a moment that they shine.
Right.
And you wanted people who were going to come and shine in their moment.
Right. And I'm an artist, but I'm also a consumer. I breathe music. I listen to music. And, you know, a lot of the music that I do, especially with Would You Mind, before it even was released, I listen to a lot of my music and I get out of my space. So I listen to it as if I was someone else. So even before mm-hmm. all the brothers got on the record,
yeah.
I was already going through it, listening to it, knowing where certain people should be placed. I truly believe that it was a gift from God. You know, just how everything connected. It worked out very smoothly, too.
Right.
In the words of Quincy Jones, everyone left the egos at the door.
At the door, right.
We had a really great time. And if I can, at this moment, I want to shout out four of the brothers that are not here right now. Of course, we said pleasure. We have Rodney Cash, who actually helped us get the studio time at Florida Studio, our big brother. We have our brother Trav Falcone, who's actually in L.A. He's working hard right now on his project. And mm-hmm. we have Kev Cameron as well.
Wow.
Other four voices that are on the record.
And then, you know, and the biggest thing, I think, really, is, you know, when you hear the stories that, you know, young black people, and particularly young black men, are not doing anything positive and can't do anything positive together, mm-hmm. that you will just play this song for them.
That's the goal.
And it wasn't created by a studio. It wasn't created by somebody trying to start a movement. It was created by a young black man and his young black and ethnic Maior, Where you from, Maior?
I'm from Israel. I'm Jewish.
There you go.
So
you count.
I'm a minority Thank you. Too. So.
Listen.
But I'm black on the inside. Right, so now.
No, Jewish counts. We're all from the same tribe.
Give credit for putting him on the song as well as putting Dontrell on the song, because Dontrell is a baby.
I mean, yeah, like he, I mean,
but he was aware
yeah.
that this young man is the up and comer.
Yeah.
So he's only 18 years old, and he the first line in the song is actually him.
Right. Yeah.
So
I felt there was only
just,
right.
I mean, and you know, it's there are just so many layers, you know, and I'm glad that we had a chance to really kind of talk about the entire project and to share with everybody. Jay Howard. I don't know why I'm ripping your name out of everybody.
I'm not mad.
Because you're the only one that don't have on black.
Is that what it is? Really? Okay, well, listen, for me, man, Ronnie gave me the call. And actually, me and Ronnie had never spoken before. I had heard about Ronnie. And I was just like, you know what? Dude, it's a call. And you don't get calls like that. And from people trying to do positive out here. And this is what we need. And like you were just saying, like, I feel like right now in the world that we live in, men need to stand together.
Yeah.
Because that's what's been missing, and that's what's been for so long. And when you see men coming together, and that's a strong sense, they have something to look up to. You know what I'm saying? So now it's just like everybody been talking about this and that and the negativity that's on the radio. And when he came with the idea, I said, no, I'm absolutely in. Don't, it's no questions asked at all. So it's an honor for me, and I have little nephews, and it's just like, you think that could have been anybody. It could have been me. You know what I'm saying? You even think about to Corey Jones, who still hasn't even really had any justice,
right.
If you really want to talk about it,
right.
Over in West Palm Beach, as a musician, I'm a musician first. Mm-hmm. That's my first thing. I started playing music first, and I'm a drummer, too. So, man, and just seeing everything, I'm going to wrap it up. Let me get out your way. But I'm going to let you finish, but we're going to put some respect. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for having me. I'm so appreciative to be around all of these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. And God is doing a great thing, man.
Amen.
And I'm glad to be a part.
Jill, are we done?
Awesome.
I want to mention Dontrell has a single release party coming up on June 11th. At the African Heritage Cultural Center.
Arts
Center.
Awesome.
And I
want
to invite
all
these young men to come and support him.
And June is Black Music Month.
And if they care to sing the song there, obviously they can as well, too.
Awesome. Well, yeah, and I love that you're doing it at the African American Cultural Arts Center. And dear friend.
The idea is to do home base before you do South Beach.
Amen.
So that's why we're doing it there, in the hood.
I know that's right.
And the clothes, Ronnie?
I just want to say to all the listeners, first and foremost, Jill Tracy, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
It's truly an honor, a blessing.
Thank you.
And for all the listeners that have heard the song through the radio waves, we want you to check out the song. You can definitely find it if you just Google Set Me Free Miami. It's on YouTube and it's also on SoundCloud, available for download. You will be seeing us in the community. We will be making noise because this is what our artists are supposed to do. It's for our children. It's for our future. And
yes.
Thank you.
And
Amen.
We are taking the song national so the world can hear all these guys.
Worldwide, all the time. We got to go. Love you. Mean it. I am Jill Tracy, and this is Hot Talk. Till next Sunday.
This is the last take for the night. Understand it's kind of late. And I got to get home to my son. Because he's so special to me. I mean, I got to see him. I need to breathe him. That's my baby. Don't call me crazy. I love the studio, but I love him more. Let me give you what I got, so I woke up in the morning feeling fresh to death. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes. I went to sleep stressed. Woke up refreshed. I'm so blessed. Yeah, yes. Water in my face and everything is in its place. Peace of mind, even my grace. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes, yes. My grandma almost lived to see 92. I'm so blessed. Yes, 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 yes. My son was born healthy and beautiful. I'm so blessed. Yeah, yes. My mama's on my right side, daddy on my left. Yes. My son, father doing is absolute. I'm so blessed, 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 blessed. Yeah, yeah, yes. And I know what I know. And I know what I know. Oh,
gonna happen. It's just the way it be. Ain't nothing coming easily in this life. Sometimes you gotta work and you gotta grow and it gotta hurt. I'm sure you know. Take a look around. Woke up this morning listening to this song. You're so blessed. Yes, yes. Gonna rock this joint all day long. You're so blessed. Yes. To be up in here with our hands up in the air, waving like we just don't care. We're so blessed. Yes. In the morning feeling fresh to death. Went to sleep stressed, woke up refreshed. Mama's on my right side, daddy on my left. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes, yes.
Hot Talk with Jill Tracy. Always live. Always local. Always entertaining and educating South Florida.
Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
The views and opinions expressed on Hot Talk, guests and callers, are not necessarily those of WHQT, Hot 105, or Cox Media Group. Our studios and offices are located at 2741 North 29th Avenue in Hollywood, Florida. Join us next week for more of Hot Talk on Hot 105.